How do you measure yourself with other golfers?
By height.
It's a very, very special honor.
I'm Paula Creamer, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Well, we're waiting.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, a.k.a. John Kreese from Cobra Kai, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Welcome to Golf Talk Live, our Monday 19th hole edition. I am Alan DePue, and I'm joined once again by my co-host, Christian Nazamas. Christian, hello.
How you doing, guys?
Andrew DePue. Andrew,
how are we doing?
We are tremendous. I have a beverage in hand. That's what we do. We kick back in our virtual 19th hole, and we chat a little golf. And I'm just going to get right into it, because if you've heard our podcast and the radio show on Saturday, this was meant to be an exciting weekend for ladies LPGA golf, specifically the Women's Open, which got postponed to December. No competition with any other basically professional tours. You have some that we'll chat a little bit more about that in a second, but this was their opportunity. In fact, there was even a hashtag circulating, Women Worth Watching, because they knew full well that they were going to be going up against the NFL and the NFL games. And I got to tell you, I personally was extremely excited. The USGA had set the golf course up. It was playable. You kept seeing on social media all the hole-in-ones that were going in there. It was good. It was good golf, good theater. And we're recording this Sunday night, and they're not finished because heavy rains have postponed it for only the third time ever, a Monday finish. Guys, what's your thoughts?
I mean, I'm going to be streaming it tomorrow at work personally, because I'm very excited about watching it. I was watching it the first three rounds so far, and you know, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a shootout. The leaderboard's kind of stacking up here a little bit. There's about, I want to say, 10 people that have the chance to win
right
tomorrow. So it's going to be a lot of fun coming down the stretch, I think, tomorrow. And there's going to be some good golf being played.
Andrew, and your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely am going to be streaming it. No questions asked. These women are worth watching. They have some absolutely phenomenal talent. Way better than any one of us could ever dream to be, let's be honest. And quite frankly, I don't disagree with you. I think the fact that they set up a course, the USGA has always said that they want to have this US Open that even par is the winning score. That's their goal. They don't want to have anybody below par. But the reality is, it's just for an average person, it's not so much fun all the time. I mean, there's certain instances. Yeah, I guess you could gear it up like, you know, we obviously do, and with the US Open every year, or try to, but we do want to see some scoring. Like that is fun to watch when people go on a birdie run. And I mean, I think I watched the video of, I can't even remember her name, and I'm going to butcher her name if I try pronouncing it, but she makes a hole in one on like the very first day of the tournament. And it was fun, and people watched it. I mean, the views were on that clip were just out of this world. So it's definitely interesting. I know that, you know, we all are going to be watching it. And quite frankly, as somebody who does also then watch the NFL on the side, I was looking forward to streaming it right up until the NFL games.
All right, you're going
to
channel surf. Let's just call a spade a spade. But yeah. I'll tell you, I'm going to get to the leaderboard here in a second as it stands today as we're recording. But the USGA, and to your point, Andrew, the USGA at present, there's only four golfers that are under par. So they are still accomplishing their goal. And I know this is going to come as a shock, Christian, but the USGA is coming under heat for a course setup. Wow, that's shocking.
Haven't heard that one in God knows how long. That's shocking.
The reason being that on Saturday, torrential rains and the golf course was flooded, they did not implement a lift clean in place. So there was a lot of muddy pellets out there throughout the golf course. What say you, sir?
Yeah, I mean, I US Opens is always one of my favorite tournaments to watch, right? It challenges the best of the best in the world for the women and the men. And I love a leaderboard that is crunched, that is packed, that is low scoring, because it shows people how good a player that person is, right? we go out and watch these guys and women all the time. They're posting 18, 19 under for a normal event. Then they come to a US Open and they're challenged. Right. And it's our Open for a reason, because it should be the hardest tournament that you have to play in. And if you're a golfer, that's a tournament that you strive for. That's a tournament you want to win. And that's a tournament that you will always carry with you and hold on your resume as a, you know, high point in your career. So I love it. I mean, I know the USGA is always going to get, you know, discussed about every single year on the women's and the men's about the course setup and stuff like that. That will never change. But I love it personally.
So Andrew,
I want to echo off of that. I definitely think that that's 100% accurate. I mean, it's almost year in and year out at the US Open. There's something. I mean, Shinnecock a couple of years ago, we had Phil running down to hit his ball before it fell off the green because it was just rolling so far. This year, it's the mud and everything. And quite frankly, you know, I relate this, and I try to always relate it back to something that we would be a part of, right? Like, we're not going to be playing in the US Open unless by some miracle we have the greatest qualifying rounds to ever be there and somehow make it in or something to that effect. So the reality is we're looking at it from like a perspective of what can we say? And quite frankly, like I look at it as like your local club championship or your local member guest or whatever the case may be. And it does, like, for an average person like ourselves, that's the tournament that we strive for. And we have on our checklist as we want to write off as a good golfer. And for these people that are the world's best, that's the tournament that they have to. And quite frankly, if everybody's playing in it, what's the difference? That's my take. Like, you know,
hey, I touched on this on Saturday. I'll restate it again as of the cut, because for the first time they were using the two golf courses down at Champions Golf Club. Cypress Creek would host the third and fourth round, but seven players started on one course, six players started on the other course. They basically played equal. Everybody's playing the same track. When I played professionally, I didn't have a problem with that whatsoever. I did try to qualify for the US Open. It failed miserably, but that's a whole other story on another night. Here we go. Let me just give you a quick rundown. We have Inaku Shibono sitting atop the leaderboard at -4. Amy Olson in second at -3. Mariah Jutar Nugent at -1, J.Y. Kim at -1, and Catherine Papp. And Christian, before you chime in, a couple little things. Most notably, a couple of Americans in the top five, and not only a couple of Americans in the top five, Catherine Papp, University of Texas amateur. As you heard on Saturday's show, no amateur has won the U.S. Women's Open since 1967. What say you, sir?
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. You know, as being an amateur myself, I would die to be in a position like that. I mean, it's just a boost for your confidence, you know, but she's got a long road ahead of her tomorrow. She's got to take it obviously one shot at a time, which I know she will, and stuff like that, you know, but there's a name on the leaderboard right now that people should be worried about. And her name is Lydia Ko. Don't be sleeping on her tomorrow. She could come out of nowhere and fire off some birdies quick.
Where is she? Do you have her where she's at right now?
Lydia Ko is at even par.
She's at even. Absolutely.
You know, and she could come out of nowhere and fire off some birdies in a row. But getting back to Caitlin really quick, I mean, that's just awesome. I love amateurs being up on top of the leaderboard. And regardless of any tournament, the Masters, US Open, Open, it's awesome. And it's great for the game. Gets people younger in there. And it really shows, you know, kind of where golf's going over the next 10 years, which is going to be a really positive influence.
Andrew, to Christian's point, you've got Shibono at -4. Like I said, she's been leading. She's been near the top of the leaderboard or at the top of the leaderboard for days. Amy Olson's, she's not only going for her first major, she's going for her first victory period. You got an amateur sitting in fifth. If the stage may be setting up for a Lydia Ko to be lurking back there, comes out ahead of everybody quietly. What do you think?
Well, so here's my take. I saw a stat. I think it was nobody has gone into the final round, and like the last few winners has only been like three back. I can't remember the exact statistic, but it was a great little blurb that I saw. And the reality is there's going to be nerves. That's just That's the way it is. Nerves happen. Nerves will be there. It's going to be about who handles them the best and who's able to go out there and just take one shot at a time, like Christian said, and be able to walk through that golf course as best as they possibly can. Know that sometimes par is going to be the score and sometimes it's not. So I think personally, Lydia Ko, you can't ever doubt her, but I would love to see an amateur. I would love to see an Amy Olson. Like, those would be awesome stories in their own right. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm happy either way, because it's been great.
I'm not going to lie. I would love, I mean, for a lot of reasons. We always typically root for the underdog. I would love to see Catherine Papp finish the deal. I've come out of nowhere and as an amateur and win the U.S. Women's Open. I think that would be incredible theater. I think it will do so much for women's golf. And you are correct. Your earlier statement, hashtag women worth watching. Some people are actually saying this Monday finish, which, by the way, folks, will begin. It will be televising at 9 a.m. on the Golf Channel. Some people are saying it's actually going to work out better for them because they aren't going to compete with the NFL games. They'll be the only sport on. Christian, you're going to be, you know, you should be working, right? But you're going to be streaming it in the background.
Yes, I will be. And like we just talked about, it's going to be a shootout tomorrow. I'm really excited about it. I love the underdogs too. I'm going to be rooting for Caitlin. I think it's going to be awesome. And I think hopefully she can get it done, you know? And I hope she does.
I have one last comment before we head down to Florida with Ben, but I said this on social media. I'm going to reiterate it now. The only member of this threesome that successfully picked a player that has made the cut. I follow up my Dustin Johnson win at Augusta, record-breaking win, by the way, with Danielle Kang, the only one of our selections to make the cut. So, folks, if you are looking for a little insight, I would just point towards me. Just saying. Just throwing it out.
Picks are picks. They happen.
Birds chirping right now, right?
You'll be pumping your tires up on weeks that it's worth your while, and then weeks that it's not, where you get the last pick and you end up not having anybody make the cut. I'll remind you of that.
I got a beverage. I got somebody that's made the cut. I got the DJ win. Christian, what else is happening down in Florida, down at Tiburon?
Yeah, I mean, that's it was a great tournament. I watched a little bit of it today. Harris English and Kuchar came out on top. Combined, both of them shot 58 first round, 61 and 60 to win by 9 over Rory Sabatini and Kevin Tway. And as well as, excuse me, Lonto Griffin, Mackenzie Hughes, and I think it was Kevin Na and Sean O'Hare.
Andrew, we're going to throw in there that Kevin Na, we would like to play you, the three of us, plus Alex Tuck from the Vegas Golden Knights. We know you're members at the same club. It should be – it's a home field advantage. We'll give you that option. But, Kevin, if you want to play,
listen, all I'm saying is you guys are very bold with taking that match, if you want to call it that, because that man was walking in some putts this weekend. I mean, and he was walking in early. So
he was walking a lot of
putts. We have a long road ahead of us if you think that match is going to be a close match. That's all I'm saying.
If he rolls the rock like he did in the first round, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, we would be in so much trouble. But, you know, listen.
Let me just throw a statistic.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. First of all, Harris English, Matt Kuchar, record performance this weekend at 37, outpaced the field by 9 shots. And they are a three-time champion. No one has done that before. 3 times they've won this event. And, Andrew, you were about to say?
I was just about to say, I mean, all those guys who are up at the top of the leaderboard, they're rolling in some putts. So it's almost the perfect plug, because they got to be perfectly practicing with our good friends over at Perfect Practice. So as you guys have seen on our Saturday show, we had Ed, who is one of the co-owners and co-founders of Perfect Practice, on, who was our December product of the month. I have been fortunate enough to get to use one personally. It has helped my putting game, as we all know and joke about on this show many of times. And we'll probably continue to bust on this show until I prove you guys wrong. But They are our product of the month for the December. We are doing an Instagram contest, which has had great feedback. You guys do have one more week. We will be announcing the winner on our December 21st show. So please make sure to go give them some support, as they are great supporters of us. Use our code GTL15, so GTL15, for 15% off today. That way you can make sure to get your practice in. They can be used anywhere, any time of day, no matter the weather, because they can be rolled up and taken anywhere. And they have all different sizes of their products, so that way you can take them on the road with you. They can leave them at home and on your desk. You can use them at the office, wherever works best for you. So got to use them if you're wanting to try to roll in some of those putts like those guys were doing today on tour.
And Andrew, we're getting close to the end of the year, so I'm going to turn over a new leaf. And I'm going to admit that, yes, I do believe that you're putting much better. It was in the virtual streaming game of Y2K or golf PGA Tour 2K there. What were you doing? But at least you were making putts in a video game.
Listen, the video game has yet to translate to real life. I'll be honest. That's just facts. But yes, we were putting on PGA 2K earlier tonight. It's another thing we'll be doing and talking about here at some point, I'm sure. But like I said, it's going to get there eventually. I'm just going to keep practicing and proving you guys wrong. So, you know,
Chris and I have very little faith.
I have very little faith too. That's all. I'm just going to keep it short and brief. That's all I got to say.
But I'll tell you what, somebody I do have faith in, and coming up next, folks, we are going to be joined here in the 19th hole by Bruce Boudreau, NHL coach for over a decade, a friend of ours, a friend of golf, and we've got some great stories. So Bruce will be joining us in a moment. And we would like to welcome a good friend of mine, someone I consider a friend and a pleasure to do so. We're big hockey guys here in the 19th hole, but we're also obviously golf, and this guy is both. Bruce Boudreau.
Hello. How's everybody tonight?
Welcome to our virtual 19th hole, where we all pour a beverage, kick back, and talk a little golf, talk a little smack, talk a little chirping, as they say on the ice, right?
Yeah, they call it chirping, and there's a lot of chirping going on in golf courses too. Don't kid yourself, as you well know.
Yeah, I've heard a few. So we actually met many years ago when you were coming through Hershey, when you won the Calder Cup with the Hershey Bears, was in the building. What a great run. I've seen your career go on to the NHL. But what a lot of people don't know is, I mean, well, there's lots of stories. Matter of fact, Bruce, I even brought props tonight.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know what? I never even read that book. How bad is that?
Oh, you lived it, though.
I know, but I was afraid if I'd read it and read something wrong or something, I'd get all ticked off. So when people say, oh, you remember the part in the book, I always nod my head. So yeah, I got that. But the book is true. I didn't lie in it. So I should know what you're talking about if you do refer to it.
I think there's a few stories in there that I think anybody that reads it would have a great time. It's a great story. Yeah, and I'm sure there was a few that were probably left out.
Well, there's a few that had to be left out, let me tell you.
But what a lot of people maybe don't know is that you're also an avid golfer.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I just bought a house in September that I've longed to buy, and only because it was on a golf course. And it's been a dream of mine forever to live on a golf course. And if I could golf every day that I wasn't playing hockey, I would think I would do that. So it's a great competition for me when you're done playing hockey. So every day you get out there, no matter what your age is you can compete. And I love that. And it's also feels pretty good when you make a good shot every now and again.
Well, I've always said that. Is it, you know, doesn't matter if you're Wayne Gretzky or whoever, that ultimately there's going to come a time you're going to hang it up. But golf is a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that obviously Andrew's here with me as my son. I know Ben, your son, plays a lot of golf. I see that you guys play a lot of golf together. It's a thing that you can also do across generations as well.
Yeah, the biggest problem with golf when you get older is when you smack it so – you hit it so good, and then the next thing you look at the golf cart, it went 192 yards. And, you know, you go, oh, my God, I hit that as hard as I could. But other than that, everything is the same, and you can play – I play here in Hershey with guys that are 50, 60, 70, and some in the 80s, and they still – play really good, and they score in the low 80s, those older guys, and it makes you feel confident that you're going to be able to play this game at a pretty good level for years to come.
So Andrew, you remember Bruce more from going to his camps up in St. Catharines from absolutely. A golf perspective.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely remember those times. It was the best weeks out there for sure. But I actually got to run into Ben when he was coming over from across the border a couple of times while I was up at Seneca while I was working in school. And I'll say this, there's a lot of chirping between Ben and myself on who the better golfer was between out of the two of you. So I'd love to get your insights on who you think might be the better of out of you guys, because I know he plays a lot.
He played like 110 rounds this year, and which really ticks me off. Like, I mean, get a life, Ben. You know, I think he has a job, believe it or not. But the thing with Ben is he, you know, never beat me in his whole life. And I think about 5 years ago, he beat me for the first time. We were actually playing Trump's course, which was Lowe's Island in DC, and since that time it's been hard for me to beat him, except the only time that I care about beating him is the last game of the year. And when you beat him on the last game of the year, you've got usually 3 or 4 months where he can't say nothing because you beat him on the last game. And that's happened the last couple of years. No matter how much better he is than me now, that if you beat him on the last game, you're good to go for the winter.
Kind of like the bragging rights.
So. Oh yeah, and believe me, we chirp a lot, and I call him on every little. He doesn't know the rules, so I call him on every little rule that benefits me, and it's all good.
Christian, the three of us, obviously, we can chat. You're new at the table. We can sit here and reminisce about all kinds of things. But
yeah, I mean, obviously, well, golf with family is huge. I mean, some of my best moments was going out with my dad and playing golf. You know, if it was on a Saturday afternoon or anything like that. I mean, those are moments that you cherish forever. And my dad's not an avid golfer by all means. He plays 4 times a year, but he'd rather go out and, you know, watch me or walk 18 holes and stuff like that. So those are memories that I'll never forget.
Well, golf is the best father-son game in the world, because where else and what else do you do that you can hang out with your kid for 4.5 hours?
That's right.
If there was anything else, 20 minutes later, they want to get on to something else and hang out with their friends. But if you get them on a golf course, you've got them for most of the day, and it's the best part of a father-son relationship, I think, hanging out with your kid on the golf course.
So, Coach, you've obviously had the privilege of going back and forth across this country many times. What's the best track you played?
You know what? I've been lucky enough to play a lot of good golf courses. I still am enamored with Congressional in yep. D.C. and there's some and RTJs in D.C. I played some really good ones in Canada, like the National in Toronto is as good a course as you're ever going to play. Pelican Hill when I was out in Anaheim was tremendous. What's the course in, and I played this a couple times in Minnesota where they had the Ryder Cup?
Hazeltine.
Hazeltine.
Yep.
It's not as beautiful as the others. It's just a beast to play, though. It's really, really difficult. But I mean, there, you know, nowadays everywhere you go, and I played Brentwood with Gretzky, which was great, and Riviera in LA. and then so many courses down south when I was in the Mississippi area, that, you know, Nicklaus courses all over the place, but I mean, pretty exclusive stuff. And but there's so many beautiful courses in the country, and now that, and any one that's being built is more beautiful than the next. And it's I just love getting on and looking at a good green golf course, and no matter how tough it is, it, when there's water on it and everything else, it's as good a place as you ever want to be.
I know you did you mentioned Toronto. I know you had a charity event up there. Are you still hosting that?
No, that became too tough. As you guys know, I used to have a pretty good banquet at the hockey school.
That was huge.
And when I started doing the golf tournament, I thought it had to be as good a presence as I gave away at the hockey school. And people were starting to get really sick of seeing me because I was double dipping for presents and gifts and everything else. But so I gave that up, even though I loved doing it. I did it for 3 years in Toronto, and we raised a lot of money for minor hockey in Southern Ontario. And I thought that was great. But now I've given the hockey school to the kids, but unfortunately I'm still the one collecting the gifts for them. Might be a little tougher this year if I'm not in the NHL, but I'm sure we'll manage to find something somewhere.
Andrew?
That's just going to say, Bruce, a lot of people obviously know you. A lot of people obviously know you from golfing and from mainly obviously from hockey. But what most people don't actually realize is you're a movie star too. So I'd love to hear the tale. I know it's in the book because I've gotten to read it, but would love to hear the tale of your fame in Slapshot.
Well, I don't know how much fame it is. I got a body and a face made for radio, as we all know. So my movie acting career was short lived, but I just happened to be at the right place at the right time when they were filming the movie Slapshot. And I was playing on the Charlestown Chiefs, which was the name of the team in the movie. Really, they were the Johnstown Jets. And for 2 weeks, had a ton of fun, learned a lot about how to make a movie and how they went around making movies, met some great people like Paul Newman and the director, George Roy Hill, and such guys like that. But it was, you know, it was 45 years ago, and I thought it would be a flash in the pan moment, but the movie has done the test of time, and it's an iconic thing. And it's, I think it'll last forever. And everybody that plays hockey sees that movie once a year and never gets sick of it.
Kind of like us with Caddyshack a little bit.
It is very similar. Yeah. The Caddyshack, Bull Durham, you know, all those great movies about sports that have a little bit of fun involved in them.
Now, the other thing that I always found interesting, especially from that situation, was they selected, I guess, your apartment or you and your buddy's apartment for the scene for Paul Newman's house. Walk me through how they go through that selection process.
Other guys, we had another guy living in the house, but he didn't want to take credit for being my apartment, because when the director came into our dressing room, he said, "I got to do a scene with Paul today. We need an apartment. Who's got the most rundown, ugliest, unkept apartment on the team?" And everybody stood up and said, "Me," and all in unison. And I thought I was keeping it pretty clean, living away from home for the first time, but evidently it wasn't. And my apartment was cleaned. Paul made me change the sheets before he would get on them. So very understandable there. And it went off pretty good, but that was my place.
No, that's awesome.
That's some good behind the scenes stuff for sure. But we even growing up, we had a lot of fun times, and I always appreciate, you know, all you guys used to do for us when we would come up to the camp. So, you know, obviously thank you for stopping by. I don't know if Christian might have, I know, again, we obviously can talk forever since we've known each other longer, but I don't know, Christian, if you had any questions for him or anything like that, but thank you obviously for the cool insight.
Yeah, let me ask
one thing here. In the movie Caddyshack, is Bushwood Country Club the worst condition golf club you ever seen?
worst condition private club I've ever seen.
Like, I mean, you went from the road to the rough to a green that was about an inch high.
We can't forget the golfers either. Golfers are running around the entire course.
Yes, yes. So, I mean,
golf courses and cemeteries. Worse.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was horrible, but the movie was great. Sorry, go ahead.
That movie never gets old. I love watching that movie. No, obviously, I mean, Coach, you have a hell of a resume. Obviously, you've been all around the place and so much success in the league. You know, if you could really pass a message to anybody, and like a millennial or anybody younger than Andrew or myself, to really kind of like achieve success, if they want to follow a dream, if they want to go to the NHL, or if they want to pursue something else, you know, could you know, maybe pass a message to them to really kind of never give up on their dreams?
Well, never give up. And it's almost like a Jim Valvano type thought here, is that if you believe in it and you work hard enough at it, I mean, usually it can happen. And I fully believe that. I never thought I would be in the NHL as a coach. I mean, I was 53 years old, and I'd been in the lowest of the minor leagues, and you just work your way up, and it was a passion. It still is a passion of mine. And if you do the right things and you work the right way and you treat people the right way on the way up, I think good things can happen to you. And once you get there, the hardest thing, it's one thing to get there. The next thing is to stay there. And I mean, actually, golf is probably the best example in the world of that. There are so many great golfers, and there's only, 150 on the tour at a time or something. Absolutely. But you watch every week, and a new young guy comes in and steals the spotlight and wins the tournament. And everybody's capable. It's not just Rory and Dustin and the boys that win these things. And it's great to see. And I mean, I was watching the U.S. Open today, the women's U.S. Open, and there's a female amateur shot 2 under, hadn't been done. I mean, these things can be done if you believe it can be done. So don't stop believing and keep your dream alive. That's my advice to everybody.
Yeah, that's awesome. We were actually just talking about it last week. Actually, we think golf's in a great place right now. You know, I mean, golf, anytime you watch it right now, I mean, Dustin Johnson, you got Bryson DeChambeau now just like absolutely killing the ball. You know, we were just talking yesterday or a few days ago about it. Actually, golf's in such a great place right now on the LPGA Tour, the Champions Tour, as well as the PGA Tour. And I mean, every week you watch any tour, it's an exciting, you know, tournament to watch. So.
Well, they're all so good that, I mean, there's very, very rarely is there a blowout anymore, because there's so many good players playing every week, you know? So it's I think they should shorten the clubs though and make it tougher. Everybody's got to use the Phil Mickelson putter, but like DeChambeau, they got to use it for every club. It'll be like Dorf on golf. If you remember Tim Conway doing that thing, you're old enough. You know.
I remember that, Bruce. I don't know if these young guys do.
No, they wouldn't remember. But then, you know, you might hit a 110-yard drive and think this is awesome. But those guys hit the ball so far, 14, 15 years old, they're hitting it 300 yards out there. Makes me sick. So, but anyway.
I echo the boys in saying I appreciate you stopping by and chatting with us a little bit. I was telling them before we hopped on that I remember one of the funnier stories. It just struck me as funny as the first year we went up to your hockey camp, and I was fortunate enough, you called me an instructor. I just pushed pucks. That's all. And
yeah, you work cheap. I really like the guys that work cheap. So that was really good.
We were sitting there going over the drills, and you suddenly looked at myself and Steve Capuano, and we pushed the drills aside, and you go, "You guys want to see my forechecking strategy?"
Yeah.
Love the passion.
Some days, like before you leave here, you know, that those times we would get 50 to 60 people from Hershey,
right,
the Hershey area, up to the hockey school. And you guys, we used you as instructors, and the kids were on the same teams. And it was a great time. It was probably the best part of the hockey schools in the 38 years that I ran it.
Yeah, without question. Andrew, we'll let you
wrap it up.
Let you wrap it up.
All righty. Well, thank you again, Bruce, for stopping by. We'll be airing this here on Monday. We're recording a little early just to give Bruce some time here. But thank you, as always. If we're ever down in the Hershey area, maybe we'll have to swing by. And if you're available, we'll hit the links. And hopefully we won't outdrive you too much that you get upset with us.
Well, we won't have to go far if you want to play. I can tell you.
You'll have to critique Andrew's putting a little bit while we're out there.
Yeah, that's miserable.
Yeah, right. Putting's a little, he used a little work.
It's a little sketchy. A little
bit. So three putts are not the abnorm?
Sometimes
no,
four.
Not at all.
Sometimes those, four
those
putts
are,
for him.
Those are four putts usually.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Bruce.
And good luck in the golf and everything else you guys do.
All right. I could sit here all night, guys. Did I not tell you that having Bruce is one of the nicest, most humble, funniest guys I've ever met in professional sports? And I could sit and listen to his stories all the time. And I have listened for many times in his living room or in locker rooms up at his camp. And I appreciate him coming in. He's always right on point, right, Andrew?
Definitely always on point. The guy doesn't pull any punches. He's probably the most genuine dude I've known. But quite frankly, the man, yeah, you nailed it right on the head. He's always on point with everything he does, whether it's hockey, golf, what have you. But he's not the only one that's only on point there. Our good friends over at Penn Golf actually are just as on point, if not better on point, with their range finders. Hands down, probably one of the best products that we've gotten to be a part of this holiday season. They have the best range finders for the best price possible, but we actually were lucky enough to get with them early enough where we actually are going to be having a discount code for our listeners from now till the end of the season. Actually, I guess it'll be holiday season and year because it's going to be going through January 1st. So make sure you get yours today if you are needing one. It's a great gift for any golfer out there, or upcoming golfer, really. I mean, knowing where you're going to be hitting the ball and how far you need to hit the ball is always important in the game of golf. So make sure to use our code. It's 19HOLE, so 19HOLE, for $35 off plus free shipping from now to the end of the holiday season and year. And again, can't speak highly enough about them. I mean, they are a phenomenal product and definitely need to be tried out if you haven't already. So
there you go. I agree. So Christian, a little bit of other golf taking place, but beforehand, this guy, can you see him? Ricky Fowler, it's your boy. It's his birthday. We're recording on Sunday night. Did you wish him a happy birthday?
I didn't wish him a happy birthday. Rick, if you're listening to this, my man, I hope you enjoy your day. I'm a big fan. We'd love a shout out eventually down the road. Maybe we can, you know, get together sometime soon and kick back on the 19th hole and have
talk
a
about how you're
going to
win the Masters.
I got faith in Rick. All right. Rick's going to get it done eventually. I always got faith in him.
All right.
Listen, I defended him when you both actually went the opposite way and attacked him. And I was the one that defended him. So don't come saying like you're the biggest fan because you attacked him. And said, hey, he doesn't have what it takes. He's not going to just get a free ride to Augusta. He needs to get the job done. So let's be honest here. If anyone's getting a shout out, it's this guy right here. That's all I'm saying.
Ricky is an insanely amazing talent. And Ricky is a great guy. I'm just having fun at Christian's expense for his pick because I picked Dustin Johnson correctly. But anyway, unusual event over in the race to Dubai, where Patrick Reed, going into the weekend or into the tournament, I should say, had a chance to do something never done before, which is an American to win the race to Dubai. It didn't quite work out that way. Christian, would you like to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, watching that over the weekend, it was something that, you know, you wake up in the morning for us over here in the States and you can just automatically start watching golf, which was great. And it was a stacked leaderboard. You got Matthew Fitzpatrick, who actually came out on top, who had a stellar – I mean, he had four rounds in the 60s. He was shooting 68, 68, 69, 68, one by one over Lee Westwood, who shot 70s, and then three rounds of 68s in a row. You know, but you have the young guy, Victor Hovland up there, Patrick Reed up there. You got, you know, Tyrrell Hatton up there, who's also very well known. Brandon Grace has been up there. The list goes on and on. You know, but again, hats off to Lee Westwood, who ended up pulling it out at the overall for the entire season, coming out on top. I know Matthew Fitzpatrick won the event. You know, but Lee Westwood, you know, he's always been around. And I think hopefully maybe down the road that this guy can finally break through in a major. I know he's had that drought, and I hopefully down the road he can do it.
Oldest champion ever of the Race to Dubai, correct, Andrew?
Yeah, oldest champion ever. I will say too, what was more obviously, again, we always go back, he won by, I think it was a mere like 18 points or something like that, that he ended up winning the Race to Dubai by. And you know, the thing that was amazing is he went down the stretch and he had an up and down. I think it was even on the last hole or the second to last hole out of the bunker that ended up getting him the title. And that's pressure. I mean, you know, you where you're roughly standing, you have an idea what you got to do or how high you got to finish coming down, I got to believe. So to do that, pull that off, that's hats off to him. Hats off to Matthew Fitzpatrick. Not going to lie, was rooting for the American just for the historical line of it all. But yeah, if you're not going to have that, at least you get the oldest winner ever, which is pretty cool in its own right. So
very cool. Without question. Christian, anything to add to that?
No, I mean, like Andrew said, I mean, it's awesome to see Lee win. And, you know, I think an American will win this eventually down the road. I can't say who it would be. You know, Patrick played great golf this week. I mean, again, you can't even hold your head down after a performance like that. But again, it goes back to what we've been saying. You know, golf's in a great place right now. You know, no matter where you play in the world, you're always going to have stack leaderboards and you're going to have to play in every tournament. And that goes to show you right there what Andrew said on that bunker shot. Every shot counts. So, I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome to watch it. Hats off to Lee.
Andrew, we're putting the flag stick in on number 18. Closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts are, although we were a week ahead, we got a little excited and a little premature. Looking forward to the PNC that is scheduled from the 17th through the 20th. Got a little bit ahead of ourselves, but it's never too bad to talk about Tiger, I guess. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to the upcoming holiday season. And looking forward to the new stuff coming in that we will be able to be wearing here shortly. So hopefully everyone is excited to see all the new cool stuff. As we mentioned earlier in the show, we did start live streaming on Facebook, on our Facebook page. It's going to be something that we're going to be looking to do here as we come into 2021. Excuse me, my tongue got tied there. So we're going to be putting out some cool, unique content, whether that's just playing video game, whether that's building courses, whether that's, you know, doing something, you know, with all of us here. So be sure to stay tuned to all that. Be sure to stay tuned. If you are watching this on our YouTube channel, make sure to follow us, which is down below there, at Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, follow us on our podcast channels, all those stuff. So I'm very excited for the upcoming year and hoping you guys are as well.
Christian.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. I hope you guys can follow us on this amazing journey. You know, it's going to be a great journey with all of us here. We have a lot of great stuff coming up here in the next few months and upcoming years as well. But as Andrew mentioned, as the holiday season's coming up, I hope you guys all stay safe. You know, make sure to tell somebody you love them. And I hope you guys have a great night. And my beverage is getting a little empty. So all right, I need a refill here on the 19th hole.
All right, then let me wrap it up. And my wrap up this will be simply this. Folks, again, you're listening. We're recording Sunday night. On Monday, we'll be releasing the show. If you have the opportunity, hop over and watch the women play because it should be a great finish down in Houston. They deserve the spectatorship because they're playing some amazing golf. And my final thought other than that is I will let you guys do the PGA Tour 2K because this old guy's just not happening. Just not going to take place. Anyway, my beverage is full or empty, folks. Need to fill it up. You are listening to Golf Talk Live. We will be airing every Monday and Saturday. Christian, hit it long and straight because
short and crooked's not the way to go.
It beats short and crooked.
Sorry, I'm learning.
Join Golf Talk Live as they take the show on the road to Ireland. Six rounds of golf, six nights in Dublin, Portmarnock, Royal Dublin, Balltray Links, the K Club, the European Club, and Portmarnock Links. Go to Ireland with Golf Talk Live from September 25th to October 4th, 2021. Email Alan at golftalklive.net. That's A-L-L-E-N at golftalklive.net for more details.